Good morning and welcome to Neocani View. I'm Peter Newman and we are coming to you this morning from the North Tillamook County, that's North County Recreation District headquarters in Nehalem. Our guest is the manager of the NCRD, Stephen Cangelosi. Thanks for joining us. As I walked in this into your building, first thing I notice on the door is this calendar of all the events that are happening today. And I imagine that's a pretty typical calendar. There's lots going on here.
Very much so. We try our best to communicate to all of our members and guests, recognizing that we have folks that come in that know what they're looking for. Sometimes we have folks that come in that are kind of open to suggestions. So we really do our best to communicate with them exactly what's going on in every area of the building. That way they can feel free to try whatever they like that day.
And I imagine with the weather turning, and that we might even get a storm even as we speak today, with the weather turning, the thoughts of recreation kind of go indoors, right?
They absolutely do. We have, just since the end of summer, we've seen increases in both programs as well as memberships as folks are kind of thinking ahead and starting to decide how they're going to stay in shape and stay active throughout the winter.
What is the population usage of it? How many people come through the door?
Right now, as far as memberships, when we count all of our memberships up, we actually have just about 280 members. But that actually does not even scratch the surface. We have each month we have an average of 1,100 different folks that are coming in and using the facility for programs, working out, taking classes, being a part of one of our sports leagues, any number of things.
It's a great building, you know, but you look at it from the outside, it's an old school building. And, you know, who knew that there's this big pool here?
Absolutely.
It's a great pool.
It's a fantastic pool. It's actually a really interesting story as far as kind of how it came about. Actually, in 1929, and there were a lot of local drownings that were taking place, and finally the community kind of had had enough of it and really decided that they needed to make some changes. And all of the steps that they took were actually all taken in under a year. And within 1 year of them coming up with the idea, they had already started kind of some of the thought on the upstairs building, and within a year they had secured the funds, gotten all the votes that they needed, and had actually completed the pool to be part of a school swim program to help combat that. So it is a old pool, but it's a very well kept pool.
Well kept, but you know, it was just a few years ago. There was at least in our little part of the community all sorts of I don't know if you want to call it controversy about what to do with the building and the pool and the maintenance and the finances. Is all that pretty much taken care of?
We're still working through those processes. Right now, the plan or the goal for the future is very much still to be able to build a new pool. There is the need in the community. There is the desire. But within that, we are being very strategic about how we do that to make sure that we have the funds in place, that we have the support that we need. And that's something that we will hopefully be kind of ramping up again a little bit within, I would say probably within about the next 6 months or so. You'll start to hear a little bit more about that.
So I don't know anything about pool construction. I look at a pool and there it is. Make the case for a new pool.
The case for the new pool is very similar to what I kind of was talking about before. The pool that we're operating on right now, it was built in 1929 with 1929 technologies, and where we have in every possible way updated things. It really gets to be a matter of whether or not it's cost efficient to continue to run it that way, or if it makes sense to look at a newer facility. And at this point, we really feel as though we've done everything that we possibly can to get the most life that we can out of a 1929 pool, and it's time to kind of move forward and again up those technologies and be a little bit more conscious of the energy that we're using and all of those different things. So again, just really time to make that upgrade.
The NCRD is a building, but as the name implies, it's also a district, North County Recreational District. From a, I suppose, political point of view, or how it fits into the structure of the community, what does that as a district mean?
As far as
it is a building, but it's also a in a way a kind of a political mm-hmm. political entity.
Sure.
How did it come to be, and what is its overall mission?
Yeah. So how it came to be was actually in 1996. There was some transition. This facility had been currently partnered with Tillamook Bay Community College. At that time, in 96, Tillamook Bay let the folks, the powers that be here, know that they were going to kind of step away as leaseholders of the building. And through that and through the efforts of volunteers and community members, what they did was they looked at passing a measure for it to actually be a recreation district, and that was what they set out to do, and that was exactly what happened, and there was that need for it and that desire for it amongst the community members. July 97, the facility actually opened back up as a recreation district, and it's been running as such since then. As far as community involvement and those things, we have a policy board, and that's who I report to, and we do monthly meetings. We post all of those meetings up for the public to be able to come out and participate in those. And we actually see a good amount of participation in those, and expect that as the pool conversations start up again, that we will probably see a little bit more participation at those times. But we welcome the community to come out to those meetings, to get involved, to be heard. We also have within our structure itself, we have opportunities for folks to become involved with a variety of different things, both on the fundraising side of things as well as on what we refer to as advisory boards. So each of our departments has an advisory board of people that feel strongly about that area of the building, whether it be youth aquatics or fitness, and they have the opportunity to kind of participate through those activities as well.
You mentioned fundraising. What's the finances? How does financing this district work?
Financing this district is it's done on a variety of different things. It is we are supported by a tax rate. We also are supported by timber revenue, very much the same as the school districts and those things. And then in addition, we charge for programs and classes. That is one of the aspects that I am actually looking into right now, doing a market study of up and down the coast to see kind of what other areas are charging, what would be appropriate, what is not. We're also exploring the possibility of in-district versus out-of-district. So folks living in this area would get a break on that because of their taxes for property taxes and those things. So all of those are items that I'm actually looking into right now, and hope within the next little bit we'll be able to kind of start moving in a direction with that.
Is the funding stable enough that you can say, gee, this is something we really should do in 5 years, but I really need to wait and see all the pieces come together? Is planning at all difficult?
I wouldn't say that it's difficult. We are very meticulous with how we do our finances and how we do our budget. There are aspects of it that are usually always in flux that we can't always count on, things like the timber revenue. We go off of the average that they give us each year as we're developing our budget, but historically we found it doesn't always live up to that. For that very reason, we make sure that none of that money is spent ahead of time. We don't spend it until we actually have it, to make sure that we don't overextend ourselves in any way. So it's really just, I wouldn't say it's a matter of having to get too creative. I think it's more of a matter of just being responsible with what we have and thinking ahead.
And you mentioned as you're moving toward maybe looking at fees based on whether you live here or not. Where is here? What's the definition of the district?
That is that has always been a very important question. The district boundaries, as it has been explained to me from those in the past, is, as you would imagine, it's the Tillamook Clatsop line down to what is referred to as North Rockaway. And within that, of course, there's debate on exactly how far that goes down. But typically right now, the main boundary that we have been using is the high school. So right about there.
Our guest this morning on Neocon View is Stephen Cangelosi. He is the director, the administrator of the North County, that's North Tillamook County Recreation District. Stephen, how did you get into this business, if I can call it that? It is a business.
Very much so. I actually started out with volunteer experiences. I actually started out volunteering with the YMCAs back on the East Coast, and got involved with different programs there and really kind of decided that I had a passion for doing recreational type of programming, and ended up working full-time and going to school full-time. And at that time I was going to school, didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do until I met one of my mentors who explained to me that I could actually do this and make a living out of it, that it actually was a degree. And he actually assisted me with getting back into school at the time. And during that time, I progressed up the ranks through the YMCA. I started out just working the front welcome center in the mornings, and grew up to a director level position, and then continued to kind of take on additional responsibilities. Once I graduated, I decided to take a little bit of time off and actually traveled with Royal Caribbean and did youth programming aboard cruise ships for about 2.5 years before taking a break and deciding I was going to go back into recreational programming. And again, went kind of back into the Maryland-Baltimore area and started again there, and again kind of grew up through some of the positions and was ready to look at making a change, and found an open position in Tacoma, Washington, and applied and was offered and accepted, and in under 2 weeks was traveling cross country to take that position, and then spent the next about 8 years working my way up through different positions within that organization before finally realizing I kind of wanted to get back to my roots with Parks and Recreation, and found the open position here and loved what they were looking to do, and it matched up very well with my background, and moved down 6 months ago, 7 months ago at this point.
So there are actually academic, you can get a degree in what, recreation administration?
Correct.
I had no idea.
You absolutely can.
Huh.
Yeah.
What's the course material like? I'm curious.
So the course material really encompasses just everything that you could come into contact with. It focuses on budgetary responsibilities and really kind of gets you prepared on that realm. What we refer to as programming, and that encompasses a whole lot just as far as deciding what programs you're going to offer, how you're going to do that, how that's going to work with your within that budget, as well as classes from special events to crisis management. If things were to go wrong at one of your facilities, how do you handle that? And within that of course covers how to deal with the media, how to reach out to outside resources, and the like. So all of that combined with what I was kind of doing hands-on at the time within, working my way up as I was going to school, really kind of worked as almost an apprenticeship for me as well, where I was able to take these classes and learn, but also immediately go back and have the opportunity to kind of look at it in a real world setting, was really invaluable for me.
Yeah, and I've got to think that your work and this building ranges over such a wide diversity of population. You have kids, you have the elderly, you have people who come here, that there are art shows here, there are other recreational events, there's a performing arts theater, there's a gym. You're kind of all over the map, and I mean that in a good way.
Absolutely. Our goal is to be here for the community, and that means whatever they have an interest in, whatever they'd like to see, if there's a way that we can facilitate that, we try to do that. And again, we do that in a fiscally responsible way to make sure that we're not, putting on an entire series of programs for simply one person. But again, if there is that interest, we want to provide that. And like you said, we hit on a variety of different things, everything from the arts to swimming to youth to sports, and we really like to think that there's something for everybody here.
And it's a rental facility as well, right?
It does serve as a rental facility as well. We do birthday parties, as well as for a lot of our community partners, everything from Mudnick to the lower Nehalem Community Trust. All of them, as well as numerous others, do their large yearly fundraisers here at our facility and make use of our gym facility. And then we also have just recently finished the first phase of refurbishments on our auditorium. So we're actually really fortunate to have Cardam and their third annual Trash and Show take place in our facility this actually just 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. For good or bad, and I have a suspicion you're going to give me the good. What have been your surprises over the last 7 months that you've been here? Oh, I didn't know this was going to happen.
Yeah, you know, the surprises, I would say, have been mainly for the good, which I'm very fortunate, and that is the community has been just very, very welcoming. They have taken myself and my family in, and we were very quickly kind of integrated into things. We learned how things operated. We have gotten involved in local community groups, volunteer groups, and the such. But everyone has been really kind of just checking in and sharing their experiences, but also very open to the future. So I've been very pleased with that. The staff and the members, as well as the patrons here, have been very open-minded about some of the changes that we've started to make. And I've kind of eased in very gradual with some of the things that we're doing. But everyone has been very receptive, and I've been very pleased to see that the staff here have a true desire to grow. They want to learn. They want to see how it's done in other places. And that gives them the opportunity to kind of get a little bit more creative and have that freedom to develop new programs, try new things, make changes where applicable, and those types of things. So it's been a pleasant surprise.
Any unmet needs that you see, things that and you can't really do this, put the budget aside and say, boy, if I had an unlimited budget or some large sum of money that I've found in the refrigerator in a paper bag, this is what I would do with it because this is really necessary, but it hasn't been done.
We have some upkeep projects that we need to really kind of do. One of the issues that we have been facing is just combating the rains and the flooding that goes along with that. We have a great staff that have kind of tackled it, but if we had unlimited funds, that would definitely be one of the first things that I would take care of is getting all of those areas up to the point where they don't have to be a consistent burden. But that way we can really kind of move forward with some of the more low-level things. The one of the other big things would be really exploring a new skateboard ramp for our teens and kind of tween age groups. The one that we have is absolutely fantastic. We get a good amount of use on it, but there has been the desire to have something that is a little bit more user-friendly for all different levels. With the ramp that we have, it's great for, you know, the upper intermediates and kind of the experts, but we need something that's a little bit more friendly for the younger kids, and that way they have an opportunity to get into it. We would love to also be able to start offering some programs that really took advantage of what we have around us. It'd be great to be able to down the road have some kayaking programs and maybe some fishing programs, as well as, you know, even opportunities to do even more with exploring. We've had hiking groups in the past, but, you know, it'd be great to be able to do some kind of real trip and travel type of programs for folks. That way they can get out and explore everything that we have in this area.
Yeah, it seems to me when you mentioned, for example, the skateboarding, I think all of these communities struggle with how do we make these small communities on the coast attractive to raise kids. I mean, I think it's really important, and, you know, because there are, at least setting aside the wonders of nature and all of that, there are at times limited opportunities for kids. And it's not just about providing entertainment or physical exercise for a few hours. It's about making this a good place to put down roots and raise a family.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Our guest this morning on Neocony View is Stephen Cantalosi. He is the administrator, the manager of the North County, that's North Tillamook County Recreation District. You mentioned the challenges of the weather and the like, and I can't help but think, and I don't know if it's official or not, you will tell me so in a moment, that since the building is on a hill, that should we have some, the tsunami, the big one, whatever, or even just heavy flooding or a bad weather situation, that this is a building that will serve as an emergency resource?
It will actually serve as an emergency resource. We are actually one of the three local shelters for the community. So we have actually teamed up with the Emergency Volunteer Corps of Nehalem Bay. If and when there were to be any sort of emergency, this would be the main focal point, particularly for the Nehalem area. There's also one in Manzanita as well as Wheeler, but we would serve as the main spot for the Nehalem area. As far as...
Does the building have a generator?
The building does absolutely have a generator, yes. So we've actually had that generator for the last almost 3 years, and we do monthly service on that to make sure that it's ready to go. In addition to that, we have all the makings of a shelter. In fact, the room that's adjacent to my office actually holds cots as well as all of the paperwork aspects that we need. We also have gallons and gallons of water available that we keep in storage here, along with food supplies. Again, everything that we would need to keep folks housed. This past winter, this was before my arrival, but this past winter when we had the snow and the ice, I believe it was in February, we actually did have several folks. I believe we had about six folks that took advantage of it, but they were traveling through and became stranded and didn't really have an option. And NCRD opened up as a shelter and served those six people for the evening and into the morning before they were, of course, ready to kind of get back on the road and continue their travels where they were going. But we are fully equipped. We work in preparation with not only EVC, but other community groups, including Red Cross. In fact, just this past, 10/16, we took part in the Great Oregon Shakeout, and we went through a earthquake drill through our facility and talked with all of our members about what that would look like, both during the drill and also a little bit about after the drill. And we're able to kind of really just reiterate that with folks and make sure that if and when something were to happen, that they had the at least the basics in mind, and then of course reminded them of the fact that we are a shelter and that this would be where they could come to if they needed any additional assistance or resources.
How seismically strong is the building?
We actually just did a study not too long ago, and when I say not too long ago, I want to say that it was probably within about the last 5 years, and found that there were a few upgrades that we needed to make. And we actually just this past summer we did two major facility upgrades, and as part of our re-roof project, which was one of those, we actually took care of some structural upgrades as well to make sure that everything was kind of safe and sound. But we have all of the approvals that we need to do what we do and to again to serve as that shelter. So we did get a few done this past summer. I believe we have one more project that we need to do to really kind of check the box off of that and call that complete.
So about a month from now, we'll have Thanksgiving, and then there's Christmas. Right now, it's school season, and then come June or spring break, there'll be a break, and then come June, the kids will be out of school. Does the place change during that period of time? Do you set up special programs? Certainly, this summer you do.
Absolutely, absolutely. We again, we really try to meet the community members where they're at, and again, understanding that during the summer, we have parents that still need to work. We do offer both camp programs and then what we refer to as our play care program, which is an opportunity for kids to be able to get dropped off in the morning. Parents go to work and then pick the children back up in the afternoon. And the way we have that set up is that folks can either sign up for a week at a time or just a drop-in rate for the day. So if they were to just need care for that one day, we have that available. Again, we also partner with groups like Mudnick to be able to put on our Forest Sea Camps. We also, two summers ago, started a youth survival camp That really kind of goes over a lot of the same things that you would hear or see in you know the emergency volunteer corps as far as what to do in the case of an emergency. And we had an entire camp that was based off of that, and we had a really great turnout for that. And actually, it was so well done that we actually had to the next summer raise the age groups because we had kids that aged out that wanted to continue on and do a little bit more. So we were able to do that. As far as regular programming, you know, we really have seen a change and an influx, and I think this kind of goes across the board with the fitness industry as a whole, is that it used to always be that January was kind of your big ramp up month, you know, people coming in for the New Year's resolutions and all of that. September has really kind of become a new January as well. You know, I think with a lot of parents, it changes their daily usage as far as facilities. It changes what they're looking to do with their children. They've kind of gotten in that, you know, that 2.5-3 month lull with summer, and it's kind of a new beginning for them. So we absolutely do change that. For us, being in the type of town and the type of area that we're in, we see a lot of our residents come summertime. A lot of those folks are looking to do outdoor activities, but we do try to make sure that we still are available for them if and when. And that's been a big part of what we've been kind of looking at with the tourism side of things as well, is that, you know, this area, we don't have a whole lot for rainy day activities. If we have families that are here for a week visiting, there's not a whole lot to do for rainy day activities. So we really encourage them to come in and use the facility and make use of the pool and the gym and the fitness center, as well as, you know, all the different programs and activities that we have. But we feel like that's a good way to keep them from having to travel too far to find what they're looking for.
Yeah, I can't tell you how important that is. I grew up in an urban setting, but both my parents worked, and during the summer I got dropped off at what was the YMCA day camp, and sometimes it was outdoors. We'd go to a park, but when it was raining, it was the facilities in the building. And I think, as just speaking for myself, that just, you know, over the, I think, 7 or 8 years, and then I became a junior counselor. Those years were just so important to me, and so important to kids, that you get into
Absolutely.
This, you get into this routine of having activities and things that stretch the mind and body.
Definitely.
Really, really, really important stuff.
Absolutely.
Well, before we wrap things up, I want to know how people can get in touch with you. You have a website that has a lot of information on it.
It does. It does. The best way to get in touch with us is through the website, ncrd.org, North County Recreation District. We also do have a Facebook page that we use quite regularly for updates. And again, you can find that simply by looking up NCRD Nehalem, and that'll be the first one that comes up. And those are really the two best ways to contact us. The best phone number to reach us at is 503-368-7008. And again, by calling that number, you can get any questions answered. We can get you to the person that can best answer those questions and give you all the information that you're looking for. Again, if you're just looking for basic information, the website will do that very same thing. And we're happy to get those questions and see what we can do to help folks out.
Good stuff on the website. And Stephen Cancellosi, the manager of NCRD, thanks for taking the time. This is a great facility and an asset to North Tillamook County. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
And we will see you again next month on Neocony View.